You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are in the land of the Razorbacks, the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, Arkansas, and this place is very, very excited about this weekend. Can we say hello to you on our first campus visit in almost 2 years? Nice crowd has developed outside Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, where tomorrow night the Texas Longhorns will be here. That's a game we'll be seeing more often in the future. There's a lot of news about the Big 12 today, and we'll deal with that. But right now, this is Texas's last five non-conference road games. They have not been pretty. They did beat Rice, but they've lost to pretty much everyone else, and based on what I'm hearing from the fans, they may lose another one tomorrow night. Roman Harper joining us. Roman, it's great to have you here.
Thanks,
you know, Paul. What it's like to play in Arkansas?
I have one time, 18 years ago, Paul. It's been that long.
Only 18 years ago.
Only 18 years ago. I guess I tried to play professionally a little too long. That kind of kept me away. But it's great to be back. I don't remember any of this place. I don't remember any of these things. So it's been cool driving down the walkway and driving down the main highway that comes right through the stadium and really seeing these fans and the people. Everybody's excited to have us here.
Well, the first thing you notice when you get here are the hills. And if suddenly we just fall off our set here, it's because we are on an embankment. You can't find a piece of flat land in Fayetteville. It's a gorgeous part of the country. And before we even get to this game, I want to talk to you, Roman, about what has been going on all day long. The Big 12, the league that accused the SEC of tortious interference, is about to bring on four new members. And it has certainly been a big topic of conversation. And we are going to talk to the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, 3 hours from now. But the Razorbacks this year, they've already seen Rice from the old Southwest Conference. Just your reaction, Roman, before we get to Arkansas, Texas, to what has been going on lately with the Big 12.
Well, the Big 12, they have to do something. They can't just stand still. They understand that Texas and Oklahoma is leaving. You can try and hold on to them as much as you want, but they're going to leave, and you do not control them. So as much as they complained about it, they had to go out there and do something. They made moves. And obviously, Paul, like you did, I'm just glad more people in the media are going to continue to call out this commissioner and say, you can't complain about one thing and then go out there and do the same thing and ask for, you know, for the righteousness behind it.
Yeah, I mean, there were some even reports today that he had called the commissioner of BYU's league, and you know, they had a wonderful conversation. I mean, I just got through ripping your league off of your best name, but no hard feelings. I mean, all of that, and the media is propagating this as well.
We are.
It's like being in Washington. You're either on one side or the other. None of that's going to matter tomorrow. There'll be college football played all day, and I want to talk to you about their Arkansas Razorbacks because a lot of people were underwhelmed by their opening game. What did you see?
I saw an offense that struggled at times. They did not catch the ball well. The wide receivers dropped way too many passes. At the end of the day, that's what it was. And they're depending on them, especially when you got a quarterback that has not started a lot of games in KJ Jefferson. That builds confidence in himself. He understands what's going on. And also, he started to press a little bit. He threw some throws where he probably could have just thrown the ball out of bounds or took it and run it. And now he tried to force it in there because he hasn't had a lot of success. And he wants to be successful just like every other player and athlete does. So when things are not going well, they have a tendency to try and push or force things. That's what I saw a lot of. And they did not block well either. They have to be better in the run game to take pressure off for KJ. And then when he throws the ball, you got to make the catches when the ball hits you in the hands. And if they do that, they will be better tomorrow. I hope they play better because they have to represent the SEC like they should. And just let everybody know that, hey, Texas, you're not just going to walk into the SEC and get free handouts.
Conversely, Texas maybe exceeded expectations. I mean, there were pundits out there. There are always pundits out there who were calling for an upset because last year Louisiana went into the Big 12 and scored a huge win at Iowa State. Are we giving Texas too much credit first game under Sark?
No, they won the game. You give them credit for that. I thought their passing game looked a lot like Texas of old versus Alabama of last year, so it is not the same. Everybody wants to try and compare them just because he just came from Alabama, but it looks a lot like Texas of old. They have a really good running back in Bijan Robinson who's going to get the ball in all different areas and facets of the game. They split him out at wide receiver. They hand it off to him. They allow him to block in the run game. He's a really, really special player with a lot of talent. But you look at UL, who they played last week?
Louisiana.
Louisiana. I almost said Monroe, but you look at Louisiana.
It's in Louisiana. Come on, Roman.
But it's in Lafayette. I got it.
It is.
They dropped a lot of passes, too, from the receiver side. So you look at it, if either one of these teams catch the ball, Texas or Louisiana last year, the scores and the feel of the game just has a different, you know, a different feel of it. And I think the game would have been a little bit closer for Texas.
We're going to run through a number of other teams from last week because we haven't had a chance to see you since Saturday. We were in Atlanta.
Yeah, we were there.
Everybody was optimistic, but it seems like if anyone exceeded expectations, it was your alma mater.
It was. And, you know, Paul, I hate getting up here and just talking about how great Alabama is all the time because that's easy to do.
Don't worry about it. If you don't do it, I'll do it.
Okay. But they were so good. They made Miami look pedestrian. Mm-hmm. And they could have scored 60-something points on Miami, and everybody knows it. They just didn't keep their foot on the pedal. And defensively, they looked really good, but I did not expect the offensive explosion and the things that they did offensively. I was not expecting that from Bryce Young. The cool, calm, collectedness in the pocket. Miami tried to blitz him. They tried to hit him. They tried to rough him up. And even when after he fumbled the ball, he just bounced right back. It did not faze him. So that just gives you confidence going forward that no matter whatever a team or defense throws at him, he will be just fine.
I mean, nobody wants to disrespect the opposition. And that's even against name brand schools. But Alabama's playing Mercer tomorrow. It's hard to say that with a straight face. And I know Nick Saban went on his rant
his
the other day.
Rant.
Even though nobody really took it seriously. But when you're a player at a school like Alabama, you get through with a big game. You got a huge game next week. And then you see Mercer. How do you stay focused?
Well, you focus on the task at hand. You take it day by day.
Right.
But you understand I'm trying to score 28, 35 points and get out of the game. We all know it. And that's what it's going to be. I want to score 25, 28, 35 points, get this thing up and out of hand early, especially offensive guys because they always got pulled out the game first. Defensive guys always had to stay in because coaches don't like giving up points.
No.
So we were used to always having to – now it's a good time to not only stat your pad your stats. I'm trying to get an interception.
So, I mean, that's important, right?
That's important because they all count at the end of the year. They don't actually ask what games you got them against or who pass did you pick off or how bad was the throw. So, yes – I'm trying to pad my stats, Paul, against these lower-ranked teams and the teams that aren't good. I'm looking to try and get not as many tackles, and I'm just trying to go read the quarterback's eyes because I know he doesn't have time. And wherever he looks after his first go, that's where the ball's usually going. A little inside tip.
I've had friends who have been in your position, and I never understood those terrible games usually at the end of the year. And Marcus Spears once said, you don't understand. Those are stat games.
That's what they do. They pad your stats. That's all I want to do is play a lower-level team. You know, I got a great interception against Middle Tennessee State. Nobody cares that it was Middle Tennessee State. All they do is see the number at the end. They don't ask when you got it, Paul.
And when the scouts are going through your highlights, they'll see that one.
They will see it. They'll look back, oh, man, he had three or four interceptions. Oh, he's got ball skills. That's all they know. They don't actually see me drop six interceptions during the year. They just see me get two or three in a couple games versus a bad team. And I have ball skills now. That transcends at the next level.
Roman, I think I'm ready to turn the page from Georgia Clemson. I think we've talked about it 8 billion times this week, as you have. But Georgia is going into the UAB game, which is a really good program.
Yeah.
And you know their issues. It's a hangover game.
Is it really a hangover game when you didn't even perform at your highest level?
Well, maybe not if you're on the offensive side of the ball.
Correct.
But you have South Carolina next week. I don't know whether UAB or South Carolina is really a more feared opponent right now, but still, you do have COVID issues. You have a lot of JT may not perform. Who knows? But turn the page
for Georgia, and if you're over there on the offensive side, what are you working on right now? What are you thinking about?
You need to be more explosive. You need to have somebody at least watch your game tape and say, this is what they like to do, and this is what they are really good at. And because you did not see that from Georgia, UAB under Bill Clark has been defensive-minded team. They will be good and game ready. And that they are looking as an opportunity to put everybody out and say, hey, UAB football has arrived. We got a brand new stadium. We're doing great things here. So Georgia has to be anticipating a really tough team. And if they go out there and score early and put them to bed, you'll be just – but they got to score. They did not score. That was very, very
fascinating.
We hear
so much about Bill Clark.
I love Bill Clark.
You know this guy well.
High school coach. Shout out to Prattville.
What makes him so unique?
Well, he preaches the same thing every day. He's not a man that just talks about it. He walks that walk every day, and he's going to hit you with the same confident speech. And he believes in everything that he's saying, that he knows how to build a program. He's won at all levels. He's won at different multiple schools at high school. He's won at college. They shut down the program because he was winning so much. And then he came right back and did it all over again and won another championship right behind it. So the proof is in the pudding. He's building brand new buildings there. He's happy and content. And it's something about a happy person that still has goals out there to achieve that is a dangerous person. And that's what UAB and Bill Clark is right now.
Roman Harper, always great to have you here. We're kicking off the show. We got Sam Pittman later on. We got the commissioner of the SEC.
Thanks for having me, Paul. We appreciate that, man.
But we don't want to start with a dud. We start, you're a leadoff man.
I like that. I'm on base now, baby, a double.
Thank you, Roman. Roman Harper. We're live in Arkansas. We'll take your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you here, and we're continuing with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's start with some calls here. John is first up. John, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul, and great show this week. And by the way, Roman Harper is a great, great leadoff hitter for your team there.
He really is.
So knowledgeable. Hey, with the Big 12 poaching 4 new teams and obviously divorcing 2 of them, and they're going to charge a king's ransom, what is the realistic expectations of first Texas and Oklahoma being let go and then the new teams coming on board? And second part of that question is, how does that affect the future change in playoffs, college playoffs?
Yeah, let me get to the playoffs in a second, because I think there is a lot going on there. As far as Texas and Oklahoma, nobody's saying anything right now, and certainly I want to hear what Greg Sankey says in 3 hours. But it would just seem to me that it's opened the door a little bit wider for a quicker exit. Because
I agree.
Everything that Bowlesby has said has now been, you know, really shoved right back at him, and I don't think you really want to start a new league off with 2 malcontents. So I think the door is now open for negotiation. I mean, that's my opinion. I've been on a plane all day. It's not like I've spoken to anyone. So I'm really eager to talk to the commissioner. Another thing I want to talk to him about, John, is the playoff. And I was reading Nicole Auerbach's piece today in The Athletic and others. And it looks like, at first glance, this 12-team playoff is dead. And at least it's dead for happening anytime soon. So I think people that are aligned with Fox have used the Texas-Oklahoma departure as a way to play politics, and they've muddied the waters, and I think they've ended up hurting themselves. But and this comes off arrogant, but the SEC is the league that needs the 12-team playoff the least, and the Big 12 and the Pac-12 need it the most, and they're not going to get it, and that's their own fault.
Well, thanks for the update. I won't shoot the messenger, but I do appreciate the update.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Glad to hear from you. Britton is up next. Britton, thank you, and welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Hey, just real quick from a Razorback fan perspective, really jealous that you guys are there at the stadium. Wish I was there. But I just want to say I think it's really unfortunate that Arkansas has to go out and really prove themselves just how tough they are every season. And it just feels like the odds are stacked against them whenever they have the hardest schedule in the FBS the second year in a row, even the third year in a row. And, you know, if they were a team like Alabama playing teams like Mercer every week, I think they can maybe show everybody what they're really capable of.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts. You're right. Arkansas' schedule last year was next to impossible, but it is a rotation, and you know, there's a method to the madness. But ultimately, I don't think Arkansas's future is going to be judged by this game tomorrow. I think it is a measuring stick. I think ultimately Arkansas will be judged how it does against Auburn, how it does does against Missouri and Texas A&M and other schools like that. So I think it's an opportunity for this program to make a stamp on national television, but no one's going to be gnashing their teeth if this game ends up as a loss. Hey, thanks for the call. Brandon is up next. Go right ahead, Brandon.
How you doing today, Paul?
Brandon, we are doing great. It's really cool to be out here.
Hey, great. I had a question, or a two-part question, if you don't mind, sir. I was looking at preseason ranks for SEC quarterbacks, and this is obviously before this past Saturday, and I think it was Saturday down south. It could have been somebody else. I don't know. But they had Will Levis at number 10, which is fair. That's fine. I'm wondering, but that got me started thinking as far as what you saw on Saturday, and I'm not talking about the opposition. I'm more of talking about accuracy and strength of arm, stuff like that. And if I was going on that, I would say Levis is probably the second best quarterback that I've seen. Oh, well, maybe Bo Nix. I mean, he was up there, but
well, Brandon, let me say this. Don't get hung up on rankings after the first week, because everyone played different types of opposition. And
sure.
I think if Levis goes out tomorrow night and has a big time game, that will change. I mean, that is a huge game, and I know we haven't talked about it yet, but we will. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Kevin is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Kevin.
Well, hey, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again.
You bet.
Quick housekeeping. Check the underside of your right forearm. You got dirt there, or is there a bruise or something, or am I hallucinating?
You're talking about my right arm?
Your right arm, yeah.
It's just hair. That's all. That's going in 50 different directions.
Okay, my bad. It was my TV. I thought you had a bruiser. I picked up some dirt somewhere. Anyway,
moving on. I will try to take a bath tomorrow night to see if I can get it off.
Okay, brother. You're not going to do a waxing thing, are you? There you go. There it is. Do a waxing thing. Get some pain, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'm lucky that that's all you're saying about me. But, hey, what's on your mind, Kevin, other than me bruising easily?
I just wanted to make sure you look well. Okay, so the trickle-down effect, you know, I'm just blown away. Obviously, the AAC's got a backfill with three now, maybe two more later. But I'm just blown away. I think they took the right four schools, but it just doesn't make any sense to me, Boise State. You know, they're a great underdog story, but when you compare them to USF, obviously you may have looked at that stadium USF plays in, the Super Bowl stadium, et cetera,
right.
and, and their travel partners would be UCF, and academically they're better, and they're all sports.
Kevin, you know my biggest problem with this league, and I frankly thought Memphis was another pretty good possibility, but they just went out. It's like, remember when you were a kid, your folks would drag you to the cafeteria, and the dessert would be first, and you'd put apple pie on there, and you start piling. They just went out and grabbed whatever looked good, and there's no continuity to this league. I know the records are good. These are football programs are all, but there has to be something to a league, and the Big Ten is just a hodgepodge. You got West Virginia over here, you got BYU 8 time zones away over here, and Boise up there, and they're trying to set, they're trying to, put off the inevitable, and that's going under, and I'll give Bob Bowlesby credit for that. But as far as a league with any commonality whatsoever, I think it's a disaster. Hey, thanks for the call. We must go to a break. We will start bouncing around some of the sites of the big games tomorrow, including a stop in Knoxville. We'll head to Starkville. We have a lot of big games that we have not had a chance to talk about. We are live in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So first time ever on the Paul Feinbaum Show, and we have an issue with Paul. So it's Dave Pasch here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Just going to tell you about what we learned today. We spoke with Josh Heupel, the new head coach here at Tennessee. He feels pretty good about his offense. Joe Milton, the Michigan transfer, will start again tomorrow against Pitt. Didn't have a great game week one, but Coach Heupel told us the team believes in Joe Milton. And Milton also told us that he played all of last year with a torn ligament in his thumb. He had surgery on that thumb after last season, and he felt a connection with Heupel going back to when he was being recruited by Heupel when he was growing up in Orlando. Heupel coached at UCF, but at that point he was at Missouri as the offensive coordinator, and he was trying to get Milton to go play for the Tigers. Milton chose Harbaugh in Michigan, but he feels like he's had that connection with Heupel all along. As for Pitt, the Panthers won the Coastal in 2018, but it feels like the door is open not only for them to get back there, but maybe win the ACC. They have one of the most experienced quarterbacks in college football, maybe the most, or one of the most underrated anyway, in Kenny Pickett. And Paul, you're back now, so go ahead. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Dave, I've looked forward to this day for so long, and I have to say, everyone knows you're a consummate professional, but to be able to just pick up and, you could have gone on for 4 more hours.
Well, I thought I was coming on for an hour. This is an hour segment, right? So I kind of had my prep ready to go.
Well, first of all, it's great to have you on the program. And, of course, I'm sure Dave – I don't know what happened here, but Dave's doing the game. Dave, I'm really curious about just things around this game. I know you're broadcasting the game, but as it comes on the air on 9/11, certainly Jackie Sherrill will be there, who was part of the first SEC game after 9/11. He's the honorary captain. It's such an amazing connection because Jackie Sherrill followed, I think, Fog Fazio, who followed John Majors at Pittsburgh. And, Tennessee fans, especially the older ones, grew up with this intersection between Pitt and UT.
Johnny Majors, one of the best players in the history of Tennessee. Heisman Trophy runner-up to Paul Hornung. Most people, my age, know him as a coach, winning a national championship at Pitt and then the two stints at Tennessee. But he's much more than that, and known around these parts in Knoxville for much more than that. So it's really cool they're doing this. They have the game next year at Heinz Field. They'll honor Johnny Majors in that game as well. But I think, too, last week for the Bowling Green game, they had a good crowd. I think tomorrow it's going to feel like an SEC game again. And that's a sight for sore eyes. We all miss that. That shot we had of Lane Stadium on that Friday night game against North Carolina, that made it feel like college football was back. And we were at Oklahoma last week. Remember, that wasn't supposed to be a home game. That was supposed to be at Tulane. So they only sold the lower bowl seats. So I'm excited to be back in a stadium where it feels like college football is back.
Well, Dave, thank you very much. We'll book the hour the next time as soon as we can afford it. But they told me that we only paid for 6 minutes from the Knoxville fee. But we will all be watching tomorrow, and can't wait to talk to you again this football season.
All right, Paul. Good talking to you, man. I'll be it briefly.
Thank you, Dave. We go from Knoxville to St- Starkville. A lot of Villes on our lineup today, including Fayetteville, where we are right now. Mike Golic, Jr. Mike, great to have you with us. Of course, this is an interesting game. I know a lot of folks are may look at it and go, I'm trying to figure this one out. But NC State's a pretty good football team. Nobody knows what to make out of Mississippi State. As you have dug deep into this game, what do you see? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Always fun talking to you. And yeah, what you see is a tale of really two instances of what every coach is wondering coming off of week one. How do I learn about my football team? For NC State and Dave Doran's outfit, you had a blowout against a bad South Florida team. So you got to get everyone reps in that game. You got to see your offense go high-flying. Leary's throwing the ball all over the place. And those two running backs, certainly the stars of the show. But I would say for Mississippi State, what you saw in a close game, you're down big against La Tech, is Will Rogers, your quarterback, when asked in clutch time in the fourth quarter, was perfect. 10 for 10 in the spot where they needed him the most and was able to deliver. And so I think for this team, as you're looking to build momentum for this season, you already got a big test in week one, so you know how this group is going to respond when things hit the fan.
Mike, it was easy, and I'm as guilty as anyone, maybe 10 times guiltier than everyone else in bashing the ACC last week, but did we forget about NC State? I mean, what's your analysis? I mean, I know we're, USF was not a great team, but it's better than some of the teams we've seen in terms of competition. How good are they?
I think they're a good team and they're an old team, which we've talked so much about the super seniors in college football this year. You look at them with Devin Leary on and off the field last year, injured, missed the last seven games of the season with a foot injury. He makes a huge difference. He's a mid-round NFL draft pick caliber quarterback here. And then you look at Knight and Person in that backfield, the two running backs in this game. The offensive line, to me, is the difference. Up front for NC State, you've got big bodies that are used to lathering up and doing what they do. On the other side for Mississippi State, Charles Cross and that bunch, their left tackle, who's a talented guy, are all of a sudden having to learn a system in this air raid where you're spaced further apart, you're on an island. I want to see how this Mississippi State defense is going to respond against a big bruising group, especially on the left side for NC State, who, you're right, is kind of holding the banner for the conference right now. And I think for Dave Doran and company, who have always kind of been that team simmering right under the radar, they're never going to be as high-flying as North Carolina or as nationally successful as Clemson right now. This could be a year where they assert themselves as the team you can depend on in the conference.
And, Mike, finally, let's end on State. And I watched the end of this game, and, sometimes you've been on teams like this, the switch goes on, you win the game. But having said all that, they almost lost it. It doesn't matter now. They won the game. But, what's your biggest concern as you look at the film and talk to people about this Mississippi State football team?
Yeah, biggest concern for them is, can they stay out of bad situations? Because you talk about what this offense is built to do, spread the field, give these guys the ability. They were one of the best teams in college football. I believe one of only eight teams in college football to have over 1,500 or 500 yards after the catch. They're a major, major yak team in 2020. But when they get in situations where they're backed up in their own area, where they're deep on third down, that's where this offensive line, because you're spread so far apart, struggled to protect Will Rogers in certain spots. And then there were instances where Will was careless with the football. And so can they stay ahead of the chains? Can Will do what he's done since he was a kid? This is a guy who grew up watching the air raid. He's a coach's son. Can he go out there and keep them on schedule? And if they get off balance, can he be careful with the football? Can he be value that football? Because that was what got them in trouble in some instances against La Tech.
Mike Golic Jr., part of the call for NC State at Mississippi State. Thank you very much, Mike. We talked to Dave Pasch and Mike Golic Jr. We'll talk to Matt Stinchcomb in a few minutes. We have a long way to go here as we are live in Fayetteville later on.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me. Have a good one.
Thank you guys. Thank you very much, Mike. Tim Tebow will join us. We'll talk to the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference and also Greg Sankey. Matt Stinchcomb is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Going around the SEC, getting you ready for the big games tomorrow. Before that, let's go to Don, who is in Houston. Hello, Don.
Hi, Paul. Love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it.
A couple questions, Paul. I'm an A&M alum and just wanted to get your take on what you think our chances are on October 9th. And then also, you know, I've seen a lot of, rhetoric about the 12-team expansion for the playoff, and I just haven't seen a good reason. I think it makes more sense now than ever, but I'd like to get your take on that as well.
Well, I think we were heading down that road until the Oklahoma-Texas move, and then everybody just, you know, threw a fit, blamed the SEC for the price of oil, and you know we're at a standstill right now, and there's really no rational way to explain why this is on hold. Other than you have a lot of petulant people in intercollegiate athletics who have really blown up what I think was one of the salvations to the sport by being more inclusive, by making it more entertaining as opposed to the same stale thing every year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that would have been the best design to get the group of five teams in, and appreciate the take. And then what do you think? I mean, I know we have a new quarterback and of course, Alabama is the standard. And certainly they'll be favored, but just want to see what you think our chances will be on October 9th.
I think I want to see a little more. I know most people have already ticketed Alabama in for the playoffs, but I want to see what Alabama looks like next week on the road at the Swamp. And, you know, depending on how they handle that, I think it will be easier to frame the conversation about Texas A&M. Now, Texas A&M will not see anything remotely like Alabama has seen at some point. I guess is the Arkansas game before Alabama? I'm trying to remember. But I think A&M has a chance by the ninth to develop a little bit better than they did last week. And I think they have a reasonable shot at winning the game. I don't think Alabama will see it with two tougher atmospheres than the Swamp and Kyle Field. And I think it's debatable which one will be tougher.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, we do play Arkansas before we play Alabama. I also think that the SEC, because of the fact that we're all at home this, except for Arkansas. I guess the teams in question, Tennessee, and then South Carolina. I think they will prevail at home. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't have much doubt that the A&M will roll into that game undefeated and highly regarded. Don, thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Good to have you on. So let me just reset where we are right now. Well, we're obviously in Fayetteville. We're going to be talking next hour with Tim Tebow and Sam Pittman, the head coach at the University of Arkansas. Later on, I mentioned we will have the athletic director here, Hunter Yurecek, as well as Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Matt Stinchcomb joining us now, part of the coverage of tomorrow's Missouri-Kentucky game. Matt, great to have you with us. And, many are trying to frame this game, maybe rightly so, as extremely critical in the SEC East. Kentucky got a lot of tongues wagging at the end of last week's game. What do you make out of not only Kentucky, but the importance of this game?
Well, I think for this season's purposes, at least specific to this year, I do think it can help establish what the pecking order might be in that East Division. You know, we hadn't seen a ton from Florida. It's an early conference game, obviously one of the better matchups this week. And, of course, it's two East Division teams. You know, from a program trajectory standpoint, probably a little early to do any assessment as it pertains to Missouri. But certainly in week one, Kentucky got what they wanted from their offensive transition. Now, albeit a non-conference opponent, one that doesn't even come close to approximating an SEC roster like the one they're going to see tomorrow night versus Missouri. But I do think that it's a good tone setter at the very least, and if not, a head start for which team looks to be the runner-up, so to speak, in the East Division. I think that you could make an argument for Missouri, certainly for Kentucky and Florida, all three of those teams vying for, we'll call it second place at this juncture in the season behind Georgia.
Let's talk about Missouri for a second because, you know, they have a now veteran quarterback, Kufa Basilek. What did you read in the first game, and what's the ceiling for this offense?
Well, it seems evident that they are definitely trying to get more explosive in the passing game, and that's something that they've, I think, made very clear that, you know, maybe last year they were a little more conservative at the quarterback position based on the play calling, and now they feel as if maybe they can open things up a bit more. I think that was evidenced last week. You know, Basilak's a guy that, you know, Kentucky even mentioned, we recruited this guy. This is a guy that we were interested in. And we do think that he has the arm to help them win games in the Southeastern Conference. The real question will be is over the course of the season, in the ground game, do they have a guy that can be the workhorse that they had? Do they need a workhorse? You know, last year, Larry Roundtree was among the top running backs in the country as far as attempts per game. Part of that was a function of the play calling, so maybe that's mitigated a little bit by being more aggressive run pass as a play caller at Missouri. But the other piece is that do they have the personnel that could handle that or even warrant an emphasis on the ground game? Tyler Beatty looked great last week, but is he built for that and take the pounding versus a far more physical and imposing defensive front like the one that Kentucky has? I think we'll get a chance to find that out, you know, tomorrow night. I don't know that Missouri can afford to try to hold anything back. So if it turns out that he does have the hot hand, so to speak, you know, then maybe he finds out the hard way whether or not he can take a heavy load in that offense. I don't think that's what they want him to be. But Basilak at quarterback, I think this year we'll be able to find out just what he's capable of. I think that's an intention of the head coach and offensive play caller in Elijah Drinkwitz to see exactly what he has in his quarterback because he's perhaps capable of more than what we saw from him in 2020.
I only have about 30 seconds left, but could I get a quick impression? JT Daniels may be hurt, may not play. Carson Beck could end up being the quarterback. What happens to that offense if JT does not play in this game tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, I don't mean to diminish UAB. A good program, to say the least. That said, opposite a defense that should be dominant yet again this Saturday, I don't know that you should abbreviate anything offensively. I don't necessarily think that you get off the bus throwing. I think Georgia opened the game versus Clemson with three straight passes. That said, I don't know that you should be overly concerned by playing offensively to protect your defense. If anything, they can't really afford to miss any games in developing that passing attack and trying to get some semblance of a downfield throw game, something that they did not have, regardless of who's a quarterback, something that they did not have versus Clemson. Can Carson Beck be that? You'd like to think that he could.
We're out of time. The first hour has come to an end. We have Tim Tebow coming up next.